In the nearly 33 years of priesthood, I've never preached a homily on Palm Sunday. My first pastor at Our Lady Loretto Parish, Monsignor Jim Keane, affirmed what I had been taught in the homiletic classes at St. Patrick's Seminary, namely, that the truth and the story of the Passion of Jesus Christ speaks for itself. Its presentation is simple and direct. No priest or bishop can add anything. I've always found this to be true, but this year, as we know, is unlike any before. Catholics here in Eastern Washington and all viewing this Mass, whether in Idaho or California or New York or all in between, those of you in your homes, not in the pews of your parish churches, you're not holding palms, but perhaps a remote control. But here we've gathered as we begin Holy Week, and because you're not able to be in the prayerful experiences of Holy Thursday, Good Friday, the Easter Vigil, and Easter morning in your churches and parishes, know that, please, we are praying for you, for your health and well-being. And so on this Palm Sunday, I ask that you spend some time with me recalling Christ's passion and his lonely journey to the hill of Calvary. This year we've heard from St. Matthew, and of the four evangelists, Matthew is the most descriptive of the sufferings of Jesus. Crucifixion was one of the most lingering and torturing methods of execution ever devised in the Roman Empire. And even before it starts, as we heard in the longer gospel that normally would be read, we know that Jesus' agony in the garden produces sweat like drops of blood falling to the ground. But throughout the events of his trial, Jesus' posture is one of silent composure. And this is in contrast to the scheming conduct of his enemies. The Passion story shows the forces of evil and the wickedness of sin. In St. Matthew's Passion, we find various portrayals. In fact, the people involved in Jesus' death are so like us, we can identify with them. There's no role that you and I are not capable of playing in the Passion story. Think first of the disciples. Throughout the gospel, they are presented as having little faith. Now, that's a bit of an improvement from Mark's gospel, who describes the disciples as having no faith. But in the darkest hour of Jesus, they leave, they abandon him. Then, of course, we have Judas and Peter. Both caved in when it got tough. None of us like to identify with Judas, so perhaps Peter is more like us. Good intentions, but no follow-through. His greatest fault wasn't that he was weak. It was that he thought he was too strong. But Peter does offer us hope. When Judas goes out and hangs himself, Peter also goes out and weeps. But later he would become the rock in which Jesus builds his Holy Catholic Church. As for the other apostles, that image we have of them is also one of fear and running. But that's all transformed at Easter. Failure gives way to fidelity. The opposition is found in the chief priests and elders. They plot in secret. They turn one of his own against Jesus. They set up false witnesses. They taunt and abuse Jesus. They persuade Pilate to condemn him. They turn the crowd against Jesus and they mock him on the cross. Are they like us when we fail to respond to the grace of the Gospels and the sacraments that have offered to us? We can learn from these central figures from the Passion narrative. But it's often in the Gospels the unexpected ones who respond with courage and generosity, like the women who followed him from Galilee, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, the mother of the sons of Zebedee. Two of the women show up at the cross. It's Mother Mary. the burial, the empty tomb, and they're later sent to proclaim the good news of the resurrection. Scripture scholars tell us that Jewish tradition demanded two witnesses to important events, and in the Passion, we see the account of these two witnesses. But then there are the centurions and the soldiers with Jesus, again an unexpected group. They move from fear to faith. Truly, this was the Son of God. Or even the wife of Pilate, have nothing to do with this righteous man. And then there's Joseph of Arimathea, the rich man who had the courage to ask for Jesus' body to give him an appropriate burial. All of Matthew's people, in his account of Jesus' passion, have something to say to us. The Passion was written for all who would hear the gospel, calling each of us to examine our lives in relation to them and to the ways in which you and I are responding to the call of grace in our lives. Much is written that during this time of shelter in place, people are at home. There are absolutely no activities except what is absolutely required for health and safety that takes place. And we're given then almost a retreat experience to look to the Passion narrative. And in so doing, we will see that the center of all of this, of course, is Jesus, the obedient Son, faithful to the Father until death. St. Matthew wants us to see that his account of the Passion is one of fidelity. Jesus as the faithful Son whose blood will be shed for the sake of the kingdom. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prays that the Father's will be done. That is what matters. When Jesus stands before the Sanhedrin and accepts his role as Christ and Son of God, he stands silent before them and before Pilate and those who would condemn him. He ends his life with the words of this 22nd Psalm as a prayer of the just one who holds on to trust in God the Father. Jesus is the one whose death brings salvation. Jesus who suffers and dies for the ransom of many. And from this death comes new life and new hope. Jesus died for our sins on the hill, and he calls us to follow the way of the cross. And perhaps no time in our most recent history across our country and world have we seen so vividly that pain and suffering and death are part of life. Walking with Jesus, we learn the meaning of the cross, the depth of God's love for us, and even the effect of evil in our world. In these very difficult days, let us call to our Lord for mercy and ask that he strengthen us to be a people of compassion and healing in an often broken and violent world. And on Easter, he will then help us to also be instruments of truth and justice, peace and hope.